I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
I state clearly, as Prime Minister of this great country, that the United Kingdom formally recognises the state of Palestine.
Oh. Effective today, Sunday, the 21st of September 2025, the Commonwealth of Australia recognises the state of Palestine.
In a historic move, Britain, Australia, Canada, and Portugal formally declare their recognition of a Palestinian state. At least five more countries are expected to join this week as the United Nations General Assembly begins in New York. We'll speak with British Parliament member Jeremy Corbyn in London, Israeli peace activist Yonatan Zeigen in Tel Aviv, whose mother, Vivian Silver, was killed in the October 2023 Hamas attack. He's one of thousands of Israelis who've signed a petition to the UN supporting Palestinian statehood. We'll also go to Ramallah to get response from Dr. Mustafa Barghouti, General Secretary of the Palestinian National Initiative. Then, after the assassination of conservative activist Charlie Kirk, President Trump expands his attack on free speech and the First Amendment.
They'll take a great story and they'll make it bad. See, I think that's really illegal, personally.
We'll speak with Jamil Jaffer, director of the Knight First Amendment Institute at Columbia University.
The government is using all of the tools at its disposal to silence critics, to suppress dissent. It's a wave of suppression, I think, on a scale we haven't seen in the modern history of this country.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Britain, Canada, Australia, and Portugal formally declared recognition of a Palestinian state on Sunday ahead of the United Nations General Assembly. This is British Prime Minister Keir Starmer.
Today, to revive the hope of peace and a two-state solution, I state clearly, as Prime Minister of this great country, that the United Kingdom formally recognizes the state of Palestine.
France and several other countries are expected to recognize Palestine this week, joining more than 140 countries that now recognize a Palestinian state. Hussam Zonlot, the Palestinian ambassador to the United Kingdom, spoke on Sunday.
We realize that the recognition itself will not stop the wheels of colonization and theft of land and oppression of our people. But the question is never, why should the UK and the rest of the world recognize the state of Palestine? The question is, why the UK has not recognized the state of Palestine until now? And the answer is where we are today. Because of the lack of this recognition, because of the lack of this foundational step, things have been left to fester all the way to genocide being committed in full view of the world.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu responded to the developments by saying a Palestinian state, quote, will not happen, unquote. Several members of the Israeli government also called for Israel to annex the occupied West Bank. We'll have more on this story later in the program. We'll go to Ramallah, to Tel Aviv, and to London. In Gaza, Israel's escalating its bombardment of Gaza City as Israel attempts to destroy the entire city. Officials in Gaza say almost 500,000 Palestinians have now been forcibly displaced from the city. Over the past day, Israel killed at least 61 people as the official death toll tops 65,300, even though the real number is expected to be far higher. Meanwhile, the Trump administration seeking to send $6 billion in new weapons to Israel, despite a recent United Nations finding Israel's committing genocide in Gaza. The proposed arms deal includes 30 Apache attack helicopters and over 3,000 infantry assault vehicles. Meanwhile, unions in Italy have launched a one-day general strike to protest Israel's war on Gaza. An Israeli airstrike in southern Lebanon killed 5 people Sunday, including 3 children from the same family, along with their father. Lebanon's Prime Minister Nawaf Salam decried the attack as a massacre. Lebanese officials said 4 of the victims, including the children, were U.S. citizens. But the U.S. State Department has disputed the claim. The Israeli military acknowledged carrying out the attack, saying the target of the strike was a member of Hezbollah. The Committee to Protect Journalists says recent Israeli strikes on 2 newspaper offices in Yemen killed 31 journalists and media support workers, making it the deadliest attack on journalists anywhere in the world in 16 years. 22 journalists were also injured in the strike. CPJ said the attack was the 2nd deadliest attack on the press ever recorded by the organization. Tens of thousands of people gathered in Arizona Sunday for a memorial for the conservative activist Charlie Kirk, assassinated September 10th while speaking at Utah Valley University. Speakers included Kirk's widow, Erica Kirk, who's just become the new head of Turning Point USA.
On the cross, our Savior said, Father, forgive them, for they not know what they do. That man, that young man, I forgive him.
President Trump gave a 40-minute eulogy where he called Charlie Kirk a martyr.
He did not hate his opponents. He wanted the best for them. That's where I disagreed with Charlie. I hate my opponent. And I don't want the best for them. I'm sorry. I am sorry, Erica.
Other speakers included Vice President J.D. Vance, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth, Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and White House Advisor Stephen Miller, who vowed to quash enemies and prevail over the forces of wickedness and evil. While the Trump administration threatened to target progressive groups after Kirk's assassination, NBC is reporting authorities have found, quote, no evidence tying the accused assassin to any left-wing groups. President Trump's escalating his attacks on press freedom and the First Amendment. On Friday, he said it should be illegal for journalists to give his administration negative coverage.
They'll take a great story and they'll make it bad. See, I think that's really illegal, personally.
Trump's comments come just days after ABC, which is owned by Disney, indefinitely suspended Jimmy Kimmel's program following Federal Communications Commission Chair Brendan Carr's threats to revoke the broadcast licenses of ABC affiliates. On Friday, a group of writers and actors rallied outside the Disney offices in Manhattan to defend free speech.
It's important for us to stand up together and to fight against censorship. The First Amendment says that the government does not have the right to come in and tell me what I can and cannot write and perform and so on. And this is the government putting its thumb on the scale.
The Pentagon's imposing new restrictions on reporters. Journalists face the risk of losing media credentials unless they sign a pledge stating they will not gather or report on any information that has not been formally authorized for release. The president of the National Press Club, Mike Balsamo, criticized the new rules, saying, quote, this is a direct assault on independent journalism at the very place where independent scrutiny matters most, the U.S. military, he said. President Trump's publicly urged Attorney General Pam Bondi to prosecute three prominent rivals, former FBI Director James Comey, New York Attorney General Letitia James, and Democratic Senator Adam Schiff. In a post on Truth Social, Trump wrote, "We can't delay any longer," unquote. In related news, the U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Virginia, Eric Siebert, resigned Friday under pressure from Trump, who publicly criticized Siebert for not bringing criminal charges against New York Attorney General Letitia James. Trump said he plans to replace Siebert with Lindsey Halligan, a White House aide who once worked as part of Trump's personal legal team. Most recently, Halligan has been leading the administration's efforts to remove what Trump has called improper ideology at the Smithsonian Museums. President Trump's overhauling the H-1B visa program, which allows high-skilled workers to enter the country to work in the tech industry and other fields. On Friday, Trump signed an executive order imposing a $100,000 fee for the visa. The move set off mass confusion, with many companies ordering non-citizen employees traveling abroad to immediately return to the United States. The White House later clarified that existing visa holders would not be impacted. MSNBC has revealed Trump's border czar, Tom Homan, was recorded last year accepting a bag with $50,000 in cash from a pair of FBI agents who were posing as business executives. In exchange for the money, Homan reportedly offered to help them secure future government contracts. A bribery probe was opened, but Trump's Department of Justice recently shut down the investigation. In Chicago, 10 people were arrested in protests outside an ICE facility Friday as federal immigration agents fired pepper balls and used tear gas on the crowd. Democratic congressional candidate Kat Abougazaleh was thrown to the ground by ICE agents. People had rallied outside the facility to protest the Trump administration's Operation Midway Blitz, which has arrested nearly 550 people in a sweeping crackdown on immigrants in the city. Meanwhile, a 42-year-old man has died in ICE custody in Long Island, New York, on Thursday. According to ICE, at least 14 people have died in custody so far this year. In Louisiana, ICE prisoners are on hunger strike to protest their conditions at the infamous Angola prison. According to the Southeast Dignity Not Detention Coalition and the National Immigration Project, the prisoners are asking for access to medical and mental health care. And in California, Governor Gavin Newsom has signed a law banning law enforcement, including ICE, from wearing masks. The Trump administration has ended the U.S.'s annual report on food insecurity and hunger in America. It comes 2.5 months after Trump signed into law a tax and spending bill sharply reducing the number of Americans receiving food stamps. The U.S. Department of Agriculture said it was no longer issuing the annual hunger report, claiming, quote, "the data is rife with inaccuracies," unquote. On social media, Bobby Kogan of the Center for American Progress said, quote, "This follows the playbook of many non-democracies that cancel or manipulate reports that would otherwise show less than perfect news." In Sudan, a drone strike by the UAE-backed Rapid Support Forces killed at least 85 people worshiping in a mosque in Darfur Friday. The attack took place in Al-Fashir, which has been under siege for more than a year as the RSF battles the Sudanese army for control of the city. There have been reports of starvation as hundreds of thousands of people have been displaced in the fighting. Sudan has been in a state of civil war since April 2023. Here's UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres sounding the alarm about the situation in Sudan.
It's horrible. So I think it's time for the Security Council to be able to take, with the agreement of all the key powers, very tough measures on Sudan.
In the Philippines, more than 200 protesters were arrested after clashes with police at an anti-corruption demonstration in the capital, Manila, Sunday. At least 131 police officers were wounded. More than 33,000 Filipinos rallied against politicians and contractors for corrupt practices in handling flood control projects. Here's Teddy Cassino, the chairperson of the New Patriotic Alliance.
The people are very angry because they have been victims of flooding for all these years. And flooding has made their lives so difficult. And yet the discovery that all the billions of pesos that were supposed to help them, that were supposed to solve the problem, have ended up lining the pockets of all these corrupt politicians, government officials, and contractors.
It comes as thousands have been evacuated as a potentially catastrophic super typhoon, Ragasa, makes landfall in the north of the Philippines. Tens of thousands of protesters took to the streets across Brazil to protest a congressional bill that would make it harder to charge lawmakers for alleged crimes and even reduce penalties for individuals involved in former President Jair Bolsonaro's coup attempt. Bolsonaro was sentenced earlier this month to 27 years in prison for trying to cling to power and for hatching a plan to assassinate his opponent, the current president, Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva, who won the 2022 presidential election. Maria Alice Barbosa is a student in Rio de Janeiro.
I think this amnesty for Bolsonaro is ridiculous because these are people who harm Brazilian society, the Brazilian people. As citizens, we have to be here fighting, speaking out, showing our faces. People can't hide if we don't want to repeat what happened in past generations. As young people, we need to keep this in mind so that people know their rights and can fight for them.
And President Donald Trump has revealed details about a possible deal with China that would give the United States more control over the social video platform TikTok. Trump said the deal could involve the media mogul Rupert Murdoch and his son Lachlan, the tech founder Michael Dell, and Oracle's Larry Ellison, a close Trump ally who briefly passed Elon Musk as the world's richest man. China has not yet confirmed a deal has been reached. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. When we come back, after the assassination of conservative activist Charlie Kirk, President Trump expands his attack on free speech. We'll speak to Jamil Jaffer, director of the Knight First Amendment Institute at Columbia University.
I've been thinking about how to talk about greed. I've been thinking about how to talk about greed. I've been wondering if I could sing about greed. Trying to find a way to talk about greed. Greed is a poison rising in the land. The soul of the people twisted in. A virus seeking out everyone. Greed never stops, it work is never ever done. A creeping, choking, killing, invading everywhere. There is really no escaping greed's sneaky snare. I've been trying to think about how to talk about greed.
Greed, performed by Sweet Honey and the Rock in our Democracy Now! Firehouse studio years ago. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. We begin today's show looking at the right wing's weaponization of the horrific assassination of conservative activist Charlie Kirk. As tens of thousands of people gathered in Glendale, Arizona, Sunday for his memorial. Kirk was killed September 10th while speaking at Utah Valley University. His widow, Erica, delivered an emotional speech to the crowd at State Farm Stadium near Phoenix.
On the cross, our Savior said, "Father, forgive them, for they not know what they do." That man...
Erica Kirk has just become the new head of the conservative group her husband co-founded, Turning Point USA. While she called for forgiveness for the assassin, President Trump and other top speakers, including Vice President J.D. Vance and White House Deputy Chief of Staff Stephen Miller, reiterated calls for revenge on political opponents. In his 40-minute eulogy, Trump hailed Kirk as a martyr and great American hero.
He was a missionary with a noble spirit,
and a great, great purpose. He did not hate his opponents. He wanted the best for them. That's where I disagreed with Charlie. I hate my opponent, and I don't want the best for them.
While the Trump administration threatened to target progressive groups in the aftermath of Kirk's assassination, NBC reports authorities found, quote, no evidence tying the accused assassin to any left-wing groups. As advocates continue to denounce Trump's brazen attacks on free speech and the First Amendment, the president said Friday it should be illegal for journalists to give his administration negative coverage.
I'm a very strong person for free speech. The newscasts are against me. The stories are 97% bad. So they gave me 97. They'll take a great story and they'll make it bad. See, I think that's really illegal, personally.
I think that's illegal, personally, President Trump said. Trump's comments come just days after ABC, owned by Disney, indefinitely suspended Jimmy Kimmel's program following the chair of the Federal Communications Commission, Brendan Carr's, threats to revoke the broadcast licenses of ABC affiliates. Carr recently told the right-wing podcaster Benny Johnson, quote, "We can do this the easy way or the hard way."
You know, when you look at the conduct that has taken place by Jimmy Kimmel, it appears to be some of the sickest conduct possible. I mean, look, we can do this the easy way or the hard way. These companies can find ways to change conduct, to take action, frankly, on Kimmel, or, you know, there's going to be additional work for the FCC ahead.
For more, we're joined in our New York studio by Jamil Jaffer, director of the Knight First Amendment Institute at Columbia University, previously deputy legal director at the ACLU. Welcome back to Democracy
Thanks,
Now!
Amy.
It's great to have you with us. If you can talk about what's happening right now. First, this statement of President Trump, which he has repeated now a few times, that it should be illegal for journalists to cover President Trump negatively.
Yeah.
He said they are breaking the law.
Yeah. I mean, let me start even before that by just stating the obvious. This killing of Charlie Kirk was a terrible, terrible thing, not just for Charlie Kirk's family and his supporters, but for our society. It is a terrible thing when somebody is killed because of their political views, and our democracy won't survive it if that becomes a pattern. Now we see the Trump administration using the killing as a pretext to further a crackdown on free speech that started, when President Trump took office in January. And this latest statement, the one you just mentioned, Amy, that where the president says, essentially, it's illegal to criticize me, I mean, is just really revealing what we have already seen through the president's, you know, other policies. We have seen this wave of suppression directed not just at the media, but at universities, at cultural institutions, at law firms. Over and over again, the Trump administration latches on to whatever regulatory tools it has and uses those tools as ways of silencing dissent, suppressing criticism. It is all flagrantly illegal. And I think that, President Trump saying, it's illegal to criticize me may, you know, get some Americans who maybe haven't been paying as close attention as they should have been to this wave of suppression to realize what is really going on here. I mean, the president is claiming the powers of an authoritarian leader, and he's doing it quite explicitly.
So let's talk about Jimmy Kimmel, Stephen Colbert before him, the significance of—this is also coming, to be clear. I want to go to the backlash against Kimmel following his opening monologue days after Kirk's assassination.
We hit some new lows over the weekend with the MAGA gang desperately trying to characterize this kid who murdered Charlie Kirk as anything other than one of them and doing everything they can to score political points from it.
The abrupt decision to indefinitely suspend Jimmy Kimmel Live reportedly came from Robert Iger, the chief executive of ABC's parent company, the Walt Disney Company, and Disney Entertainment co-chair Dana Walden. And this also comes in the midst of the hopes of a $6.2 billion merger between Nexstar, one of the biggest owners of ABC affiliates, and Tegna, which requires FCC approval, which is very significant because that's Brendan Carr saying we can do this the easy way or the hard way.
Yeah. I mean, I think you have to separate two things. So the private media institutions have a First Amendment right to make the decisions they want to with respect to, you know, what content they show. That was, you know, true with Stephen Colbert, true with Jimmy Kimmel. It was true when Meta decided to deplatform President Trump. These private media organizations have a First Amendment right to make those decisions. But the idea is that they're supposed to make those decisions autonomously and without undue pressure from the government. But what we're seeing now is that all of these institutions, just like the universities, just like the law firms, just like the cultural institutions, are making these decisions with a kind of figurative gun to their heads. You know, the Trump administration is, you know, weaponizing regulatory authority. In this context, it's the FCC's power to approve mergers with the universities. It's Title VI of the civil rights laws. With the law firms, it's security clearances. You know, they have different levers with different groups, but they're using these levers in order to enforce a kind of ideological conformity.
I mean, the conservative pundits are continually saying, yes, this was just a business decision. Trump loves to say Colbert, Kimmel, you know, low ratings, their corporate heads have every right to fire them.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, some of the conservatives who are saying this is just a business decision, we're not saying that when President Biden was leaning on the social media companies to change their policies with respect to vaccine misinformation. And President Biden's actions, though I do think that they did step over the line, were much more respectful of this First Amendment line than President Trump's decisions now. President Trump is, you know, saying quite explicitly, if you disagree with me or you criticize me, you will be prosecuted. And I don't think we've had a president say something like that. I think this is the first time in the history of the modern First Amendment that, you know, that any president has suggested that it's illegal to criticize him.
Now, I wanted to go to a day or two before Kimmel was let go. President Trump threatening ABC News, the same network, Jonathan Carl, after he questioned Trump about free speech and hate speech.
And what do you think Pam Bondi saying she's going to go after hate speech? Is that, I mean, a lot of people, a lot of your allies say hate speech is free speech.
She'll probably go after people like you because you treat me so unfairly. It's hate. You have a lot of hate in your heart. Maybe they'll come after ABC. Well, ABC paid me $16 million recently for a form of hate speech, right? Your company paid me $16 million for a form of hate speech. So maybe they'll have to go after you.
So why don't you go to what the Attorney General Pam Bondi said about investigating hate speech, what Jonathan Carl was asking about, and then what President Trump said?
Yeah, I mean, I think, well, first of all, the First Amendment protects hate speech. Part of the reason the First Amendment protects hate speech is that there has always been the fear about the ways in which government authority would use the power to suppress hate speech to go after legitimate political speech. And I think you're seeing illustrated here why that fear is a very reasonable one. You know, President Trump is not really interested in suppressing hate speech as you or I might ordinarily think of it. What he's interested in doing is suppressing speech that's critical of him. And he has said this very explicitly. And I worry that some people listen to this and they think, oh, this is just rhetoric. It's just President Trump going off. But there are you know, even as President Trump is saying these things, the Pentagon is now requiring, you know, as you reported, is now requiring journalists to sign a pledge that they won't disclose information without approval. They won't report without approval of the Defense Department. There are also foreign citizens whom the government imprisoned because of their political views. So this is going on, you know, and of course there are, you know, universities that have been penalized because of their perceived liberalism. There are law firms that have been penalized because of their representation of clients the president doesn't like. So it is not just rhetoric. The president really is using every lever at his disposal to silence, suppress, and even imprison his political enemies.
This issue of the Pentagon that we also raised in headlines, this is truly, I mean, astounding
yeah.
that reporters cannot